Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hey, this is Family of Faith, a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible. And we are in the studio today recording on a Friday.
Friday.
So today I have my good friend. I've been threatening to do this for a while. And threatening is the right word. I've been threatening to do this for a while. I have today with me Paul Smith.
Paul Smith, everybody in the studio.
Paul Jedediah Smith.
Paul Jedediah. Yeah. Isn't that your middle name? It is not.
What is your middle name?
William.
William. Oh, that's a dignified name.
It is.
Why'd they give it to you?
They misplaced it. They ran out of undignified ones.
Paul Smith and I, it has been said that Paul Smith and I have a bromance. It's not really the case.
It's not.
No.
It doesn't qualify.
But Paul and I are good friends, and so we've had people saying, why don't you have Paul Smith on the podcast? Why don't you have Paul Smith on the podcast?
And so, because the podcast is supposed to be helpful.
Yeah, that was my answer, because we're trying to help people with the podcast. Yeah. Why would I have Paul Smith on? Yeah. But today this is Paul and Paul.
Paul and Paul.
And we'll probably reference the Apostle Paul. So Paul and Paul talking about the Apostle Paul as we talk about family. And all of that.
I didn't prepare any Apostle Paul references.
No, that's good. No, Paul is obviously, how long have you been here at Faith Bible Church?
I have been at Faith Bible Church since the third grade, which was something like 25 years ago, mm-hmm. give or take.
Yeah, 25 years. And I'm guessing most people who are listening have some idea of who you are, but tell people, first of all, tell them who your wife is, how many kids you have, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm married to the prettiest girl at Faith Bible Church, Lynette Smith, and we have six children, one on the way.
So that would count as seven.
That would count as seven. Children. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like, it's more fun to present it that way.
No, it's really, seven is good. Seven's a good number to have.
Yeah.
I actually have eight.
You do. How old were you when you had your seventh?
My seventh?
Yeah.
I don't know. How old am I now? I don't know. What is, I was 37?
37?
37 when I had 37. My seventh.
Cool. So I'm having my seventh.
You're way ahead.
Years. Yeah. I am poised. I am poised to surpass you.
We're having our eighth. So you thought you were catching up with me.
I was really hoping for twins because I knew there was a chance.
But so I'm still one ahead of you. So you guys still catch me. Yeah. For now. So you have seven children, one on the way, six children, one on the way. And what are their ages? Can you give us an idea of that?
So my firstborn child,
yeah.
Her name is Evan. Mm-hmm. She is a girl. She is currently 9 years old.
Okay.
Number two, coming in second place, Avery Smith. He is a boy, and he is seven.
Okay.
He's almost eight.
Okay.
Morgan is another boy. He is 6 years old. Rory is a girl. She is, we're celebrating her fifth birthday this weekend.
Okay.
Then we've got Dylan. She's coming in at 2.5. She's making a big presence.
She's more than 2.5 pounds.
Yeah. She's also a girl.
Yeah.
And then, Henley is, she's just over a year old. She's also a girl. And then the, number seven is a mystery. At this point. Yeah.
So how many girls then does that give you?
That, mathematically that would give us four.
Four girls and two
four
boys.
Four girls and two young boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, tell people what you do here at the church. Kind of give people a picture of kind of where you're involved here at the church.
Yeah. So I get the pleasure of basically running the Discovery program, Wednesday night program for kindergarten through sixth grade.
Yeah.
We focus on Bible memory. We're going through kind of the second half of Romans this year, which was written by Paul the Apostle. I don't know if you were aware of that.
There you go. There's a reference right there.
And we do a lot of really, really crazy things.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a kindergarten through sixth grade and come on Wednesday night, then Paul Smith, along with Dan Ferguson and the team, they're leading Discovery, the Discovery program, which is our verse memory program here at Faith Bible Church. And they do a great job. They are a wonderful crew of guys and girls. Guys and gals.
And
just really, you know, we're here and I just got to tell you this, the Discovery people are my favorite people, man. Yeah. They are my favorite people.
Seth looks really offended right now.
Cause he works in Place to Be. But Discovery, just, you guys have a lot of fun. Maybe a little less structured than I would like at some points in times.
Listen, it's a lot less structured than I'd like it, but I don't even know what to do about that.
Yeah.
Just gets away from me.
Yeah. That's funny. So he does a great job and does a great job of leading his family. And obviously all of us are still learning and still growing, and none of us are experts. None of us are experts. If you ever find an expert on family, don't buy that guy's books. Cause there's not any experts. We're all just trying to walk in love, walk in wisdom, walk in grace. And, we fail constantly and we look to the Lord for our encouragement and for our, security and identity. So, I'd like to talk about men's ministry. I would like to talk about ministry, to men and between men. Here at Faith Bible Church, obviously we know in a family structure, the man is, we would all say, the leader of his wife and of his children. He is the one who should be leading them and guiding them. He needs to be pursuing Christ. And if a man will pursue Christ, if a man will worship Christ, and if his life will revolve around the person of Jesus Christ, that will affect his home. That will impact his home in a powerful way. And so this ministry to men, this call to men to lead, and this provoking of men to worship, the worship of Jesus Christ, is an all-important ministry of a local church. Men lead churches, but only men who lead their families lead churches. That's what the qualifications are all about. Men lead churches, but only men who lead their families, because the family, leading the family, is the testing ground, really, in the proving ground for qualification for leading in a church. And many times we get that backwards, or we accelerate the leadership in a church setting without really the leadership of the home being there. So ministry to men, or men's ministry, however you want to call it, is an all-important ministry, really important ministry of the local church, because we want to be engaging men. We want to be challenging men. We want to be strengthening men. We want to be speaking into men's lives and shaping men, growing up men. And so this is really important. And you, Paul, and there are several guys in the church that do a great job of it, but you, as much as anybody else, you do a really great job of engaging the men that are there in your ministry, and not just them, but other men. It's not a Sunday morning that goes by that I don't see you in the foyer with a group of guys around you. Sometimes you're not talking about all that profitable.
I'm drawing him in.
But you do a great job of doing men's ministry. And so I just want to talk about that. Tell me a little bit about what you've done. Tell me a little bit about the fellowship.
The real Spurgeon Fellowship.
Tell me why it's called the Real Spurgeon Fellowship, first of all.
I don't know if
this is off the radar, people. This is not an official ministry.
Yeah,
this is not a programmatic thing. This is,
if this happened at church, Jess would have canceled it already. And for good reason.
And for good reason.
No, so man, so we it's a monthly meeting. It's called the Real Spurgeon. There's a Spurgeon Fellowship. I don't know if it's local or national or
what. Yeah, we do it. We have a Spurgeon Fellowship here in Spokane, where pastors get together. The men, the pastors of faithful churches here in the area, get together, and we call it the Spurgeon Fellowship.
Yeah. Why did you name it after Spurgeon?
I did not name it. Whoever named it probably had an affinity for Reformed theology. I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we do as well. We have an affinity for Reformed theology. And, but also we think Spurgeon was a cool guy.
Yeah.
And so we try to have our meetings in a way that we think Spurgeon would have had his meetings in parlors and things.
Yeah.
You know, smoky ones. But, anyway, that's beside the point.
What do you do at the Spurgeon Fellowship? What do we do at the Spurgeon filters with smoke? Yeah, that's good.
There's sometimes the fireplace just leaks a lot.
Yeah,
that's right, more often the case.
Yeah,
but no, we sit down and we try to. We've done a number of things lately. We've been just discussing some theological ideas.
Yeah,
that a lot of the guys had no clue what they were. Right.
Right.
You know, they came up in conversation. Hey, what do you think about this? And, you know, one of the guys said, well, to answer that question, we'll first have to look it up. I don't even know. So we've been hashing through just a couple of those things. But I mean, we've done a lot of different topics. We just we send out a topic week in advance or so. You know, get the guys either listen to a podcast or read a chapter out of a book or something like that. And we get together and we just kind of discuss it. It's more of just a jumping off point.
Yeah.
For guys. Mostly we spend our time just hashing through our lives, really. Yeah. Yeah. You know what, you know, if we're talking about marriage, we talk about just different issues a guy might be dealing with, you know, relating to his wife, being patient with his wife. You know, his wife's worried. He doesn't understand why she's worried.
Right.
We've all been there,
right.
You know, and just offering a lot of practical wisdom to each other, just trying to keep each other accountable. And so that's what the real Spurgeon Fellowship's about.
Yeah.
And it kind of came a little bit out of a necessity. I've got a large number of young men in our growth group and who help in discovery and then some who don't. But I was trying to meet with them and I don't have enough time to meet with all these guys. And so our growth group's on Sunday morning and we usually run long on the study and we don't get a lot of time to pray for each other and things like that. And so this just opened up another opportunity to meet on that level.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I think is great about this is that this is not something the church officially said, hey, this is what you need to do. Now, we kind of did in that, the church kind of did in that, hey, you need to be a growth group shepherd, you need to be meeting with your guys, whatever.
Yeah.
You said you just didn't have enough time to do individual. Now, you still do individual meetings.
Yeah,
with guys.
I do. I have approximately 4 Tuesdays a month.
Yeah,
that's we carved out our Tuesday nights, and so we have we've got one couple on the first Tuesday, another couple on the second Tuesday, third couple, third Tuesday, fourth couple. Nope, they got canceled. Real Spurgeon Fellowship.
So they roll over.
They graduated. They graduated. We had the guy that I started it with. He's kind of acting like a grown up.
Okay, good.
And so. You know, I was give him a little freedom, turn him loose a little bit, and they still come over from time to time. We kind of have an open door policy.
Yeah,
none of these people knock anymore.
Yeah, see, and that again. That is why I love you, Paul Smith, is because you get how to do ministry. Ministry isn't something that you schedule out, you know, on Sundays or on Wednesdays, or that you just you know, punch a time card. It really defines your life. It really is how you live your life. There is an idea or a thought that is prevalent in a lot of places and in our church too, that if we're going to really help men, we need a men's ministry. A formal, structured men's ministry that will meet ever so often here at the church, and all the men can come to, and we can pour into them and speak and all that. But I'm not against having a group of men here at the church, obviously. But to think that is what summarizes men's ministry, I think is a misunderstanding. If I called a bunch of men to church, if I said, hey, we're going to have a meeting once a month here at the church, and I want all the guys to come, the men would come, and what would we do? I would speak, or someone else would speak. We would have a lesson, or we would have teaching, because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would have maybe some discussion questions, and those discussion questions would be based on the talk that I just gave that most of the guys have had 30 seconds to try to process.
Right.
And there would be some relationship possibly that would come out of that. There would be some engagement. There would be some familiarity with one another after time. But it's a little bit wooden. It's a little bit too formal. And it's not as flexible, and it's not as, I don't think, as effective as just living life with people. So what is you're doing with Spurgeon Fellowship, or the real Spurgeon Fellowship?
The real Spurgeon Fellowship.
It's just life. Like,
yeah.
These guys, hey guys, what do you want to talk about? You know, what are you thinking about? What are you concerned about? What are you wondering about? What questions do you have? And let's sit down together and as friends and as brothers in Christ, as co-laborers together in Christ, let's talk about this. And the last thing you guys were talking about was, I think, cessationism.
Yeah. Cessationism.
Because the guys were like, I don't even know what this is.
Yeah. There were like four of the guys. I don't know what that means. So.
And that's the other thing is sometimes as a pastor, you live in a world and Faith Bible, I'm not knocking Faith Bible, right? I love Faith Bible, but we can kind of get in our own little world sometimes with some of these theological concepts, thinking that everybody grasps what we're saying. And not realizing that a large group of people every Sunday morning when we're talking or when we're speaking, they're not necessarily tracking with what we're saying because they don't have the vocabulary, they don't have the training, the knowledge. And so when I say cessationism, like I've got files in my head on cessationism and you've got guys, what is that?
Sensationism?
And there might even be some people listening to this that are like, cessationism, I don't even know what that means, right? You know, you're sitting there listening to that. It's like, I'm not sure I know what that means. And that's where ministry, the one another ministry, and just having ministry, relationship ministry with one another is so vital and so important to what we're doing here at Faith Bible Church. And while formal structures are not bad, formal structures are needed and formal structures are good. You catch a lot of people. Like what having a group of men here at the church would do is that you would cast your net a little bit larger. You'd be able to say the same things to a larger group of men. And so those things are valuable and those opportunities are valuable. But the week in and week out, month in, month out, relationships are really where the ministry is carried out. And you're doing the work of the ministry there. And so let's talk about ministry to men as it relates to other things you do besides the Real Spurgeon Fellowship. So how else do you minister to men? Because I've seen you do this in so many ways.
We have people over, right? I think that everything we do fits into that. We have people in our house. I used to meet guys for coffee. I don't like coffee, so that seemed like a huge waste of time. And I know that's a, if you like coffee,
that's kind of a thing. Yeah.
We're going to go get coffee.
Let's go get coffee.
Yeah. We're going to get coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you sit like in this cold coffee shop and try to talk about things next to people who don't want to hear what you're talking about. And so I just resorted to doing this at my house. I'd have a guy over, and eventually he got married. And so then he just brought his wife.
Yeah.
And so we'll go sit outside by the fire or in the shop or whatever. And we'll have a list of things that we need to talk about. But meanwhile, his wife is inside, with my wife. And, sometimes they'll, have a conversation about what's going on in her life. Sometimes they'll, do some meal planning. Sometimes they'll learn to make laundry soap. You know, we'll be out in the shop and we'll work on a project that he's got, I think just, trying to meet them, where they're at on their level. A lot of these young guys I meet with, they've got little kids now, right? They've just had their first kid. And, some of these guys, when they first started coming around, they'd look at my kids as if they were, from outer space, like they didn't know, what to do with the kid. And now they're dads, now they're leaders in children's ministry. And it just, a lot of that comes from being in an environment where I'm parenting.
Yeah.
They're seeing how we live our life. So I'm teaching them, I'm explaining them things when they ask questions, but they're also learning a lot of things just by watching what we're doing on a daily basis. They're probably learning a few bad habits too, but
a lot of times when we think of having people over, we're having them over for dinner or a meal. Usually there's a little bit of talk before the meal and maybe a little bit of talk and some dessert and coffee after the meal or whatever. And then people go home and that's good. But what you're talking about is opening up your home and sharing life with people. And like you're saying, doing projects, actually not just revolving around that one meal,
yeah,
but having a whole,
evening,
a whole much longer extended period of time, together. That's uncomfortable, I think, for some people. I think we'd rather maybe do a meal.
Yeah.
If anything, that's not bad. It's just what you're talking about is really much more extended time.
Yeah,
we're much more involved time.
We typically start around 7, and it'll go to 9:30, 10 o'clock. I mean, this isn't for.
Yeah, yeah. You and I have different.
We do.
We can have different schedules because we're like come over early so you can leave by 8.
Yeah, that's,
you know, and so we can get the kids down by 8:30. But what when it comes to Paul and Annette, we're just like, well, we'll put the kids in the pajamas on the way home, you know?
Yeah. We'll sleep when we're dead.
We'll sleep when we're dead.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing though, too, is, we like to do this, at our house 'cause our kids are there.
Right.
Right. And, I'm trying to raise 2 men.
Yeah.
In my house. And so, I want my boys to see that, right? I want my boys to see, other men, other godly men growing,
right?
And to see how that relationship should look in their life as they grow older, right? That they should look to shepherd younger men and that they should also look to older men, for guidance and wisdom.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's another thing I really like about doing it at home. And again, it gives us that opportunity. You might be right in the middle of a really important conversation on parenting and disciplining, with a young couple whose toddler's acting out. And just then your toddler climbs out of her crib and throws a water bottle down the stairs, you know, and shouts no. So then you say, well, all those things I just said, now I'm going to have to go do.
Yeah.
You know, and so that can be a fun time.
No, absolutely. It's like living, breathing examples, you know, real time examples.
Yeah.
The value also of being with couples. I meet with a lot of men like early morning or whatever. And sometimes you can ask the men, hey, how are things going? So you ask the men, hey, how are things going? And they'll say, oh, you know, it's okay. Yeah. You know, I've been real busy lately. And it's fine though. It's good. You know, wife's good. Everything's good. Or they can give you, they can tell you that they're not doing well, but they kind of really, they have a different view of it than their wife does.
Yeah.
So you ask that question of a guy, and he'll give you one answer. Then if you can look over at the wife.
Oh boy, that's say, when you win.
Yeah, that's when you actually get the good stuff. So you look at the wife and say, now I want you to tell me how it's going. And she breaks down in tears. Like, oh, it's terrible, you know. But that I've had that happen so many times. And so there's this value where my point is to act like men's ministry is only men, you know, with men. You lose an aspect there where you really get at where the guy's at. So if I want to know where a guy's at, if I want to know how he's doing, I want to see his family life. I want to see his home life. The only way I'm going to actually get a clear picture of that is if I'm in his home or if I'm able to ask his wife that question.
Yeah.
I want to see their home. I want to see what's going on and I want to live life with them. And you can't do that many times in programmatic structures. So all those programmatic structures are really good and helpful and useful for what they do. They in of themselves do not contain all the ministry that has to happen. The relationships and the life on life type of relationships are what has to happen. And what is so encouraging when I just hear you, when I hear you have a group of guys and without pastor's involvement, you have a group of guys that say, we have these questions. We want to know, we want to sit and talk about these things. I just am so encouraged by that because, that's the work of the ministry. When the Apostle Paul talks about the ministry, he says he's given pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And that work is what you're carrying out. That work is what men, and you're not the only guy. There's other men who've said, you know what? I'm going to pour into other men and other families around me. I'm going to strengthen men. I'm going to challenge men. I'm going to be involved in their lives. And they're doing it off the radar. I go to lunch every few weeks with the Romeos. Do you guys know the Romeos?
No.
The Romeos, it stands for retired old men eating out. And it's a group of old guys that have lived a lot of life. And every Wednesday, they go to lunch together and they pray together. They encourage each other. They point each other to the truth. And you know, a lot of times when you think older guys, you think, oh, they're just telling old stories and stuff. And there's some of that, but most of it is eating and fellowshipping and then praying for one another. And that's what they do right in the middle of the restaurant. And it's great. And nobody knows about it, right? But it's men's ministry that's happening. I could tell you other guys who are meeting with small groups of guys here and there, and they're going through books or they're going through parts of the Bible that they want to know more about. And that kind of stuff is happening all over the place. So men's ministry is alive and well and even growing as we're growing in our realization that it's our job to minister to one another and not a pastor's job to build a program so that we can minister to one another, right? Yeah. We have people around us. We can minister to each other. And so we're doing that, I think, as a body. And it's really encouraging. You talked a little bit about your relationship with your sons. And you and I have talked a little bit about this. I think the most important men's ministry that a dad has is to his son.
Right? Yeah.
You're growing up men. It is fascinating to me how many times men's ministry only focuses on, you know, we think of only adult grown men, but really men's ministry is about growing up those men. If you look at the book of Proverbs, it's all about a wise father speaking to his son and saying, son, listen to my words, listen to what I'm saying, bind them around your heart, right? So that men's ministry of your sons, what kind of things? You talked about living out in front of your boys, letting them see the growth of other men. What kind of other things do you think are important for us as we have sons to be teaching them and to be reinforcing with them?
I think there's a whole list of practical things. I think one of the most important is just family worship. I know you like to talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Them seeing me lead that at home. And I try to get them involved in various ways. But I think a lot of it is just taking the time out of my schedule just to sit down with them individually, you know, and do the same thing that I do with these guys. I think we all have this understanding that we should be meeting with somebody. Right. Whether we should be meeting with an older man or we should be discipling a younger man. Like these are normal ideas.
Yeah.
But I have these two men in my house.
Yeah.
And I should be doing the same thing with them.
Right.
And that's difficult. I get caught up in my life and ministry and all these other things. And I do neglect that from time to time, but just doing the same thing. Right. Having some one-on-one time out in the shop, or whatever it may be, we'll go to the hardware store and get some things, you know, and just talking about their heart, what they're thinking, pray with them, when they're having a hard time, discipline.
Yeah.
When it's time for discipline, not to just deal with the issue. Right. But spend a little time, on their heart.
Yeah. When I've been thinking a lot about this. When we say we need to be spending time with them, I do think, especially in a family with a lot of kids, you want to spend time individually with each one of them. And that can become really hard and difficult because you have kids all around you all the time. but I have been just thinking about how I can structure my life in such a way to not just with my son, I have one son, who's three. And so, but I do have a particular ministry to him, as a young son, who will be a man one day, that's distinct from my daughters. This goes for girls or my son. I want to be spending time with each one of them individually.
Yeah.
And if I don't schedule that time, it's not going to happen. You know, maybe 1 week it'll happen and then 3 or 4 weeks it won't. And so I think the importance of scheduling, the importance of actually making it a part of my schedule, because I schedule meetings with other guys. I schedule meetings with other people, right?
Right.
Why wouldn't I schedule time with, and this is just another thought, like, why wouldn't you schedule time with your wife? Like, why not make that part of your schedule? If you say, well, we're really busy. Well, you're scheduling all these other important things in your life. Why don't you schedule time with your wife? Why don't, and tell her that, hey, next Wednesday night, you and me, you know, we're just going to schedule this and make it happen. So, with a larger family, you have to do that a little bit. You have to actually get out the schedule and do that. And I've just been convicted in my own heart of my failure to spend that individual time with my kids. There are some great ideas that you've had about guys, you know, and, you know, maybe even trips or events or things to do with sons. We can talk about that a little bit if you want, but, I've thought a lot about like taking some hiking trips, taking some backpacking trips, doing some camping trips with some of the men and their sons.
And their sons.
Right. So that's something we'd really like to do. I don't know if it's just a backpacking trip for a couple of days but I'd like to make that a part of the rhythm here at Faith Bible Church, where we have groups of guys with their sons going together and encouraging one another. So there's tons of ideas like that, right? What if we just got a couple of trips together this summer where we went backpacking for a couple of days and took dads and their sons and went and did some cool trails for a couple of days and camped? And you know, if you're listening right now and you're interested, if you thought, oh, that'd be a cool thing, if you think that would be a cool idea, let me know, because I would like to get a couple groups of guys together, maybe two or three dates, right?
Yeah.
You even had an idea about like a Christian Boy Scouts.
A Christian Boy Scouts.
Which they have.
Well, no, they don't. They have a pretend version.
Do you know what that's called?
I don't know what it's called. They're more Christian than they are Boy Scouts.
Oh,
I don't know if that makes they're more
thing.
I should that's yeah. horrible. No, they're more church than they are Scouts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're more program
than they
are in the woods.
In the woods, actually, yeah.
Yeah. And at that point, let's just go to discovery and memorize verses.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Which I mean there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But why? I don't know.
Yeah.
If we're gonna do some Scouts, let's get in the woods and light stuff on fire.
So I think my whole desire here is to communicate that there are limitless possibilities with men's ministry, and men's ministry is older men to younger men. If you have sons in your home, you are doing men's ministry all the time. You're doing men's ministry. If you have sons, you're doing men's ministry, whether you want to or not. And whether you know you're doing it or not, you're growing up a young man and you're teaching him what it's like to be a man. The way you love your wife, the way you work, the way you pray, the way you read your scripture, the way that you live your life and what you worship, that's instructing your son. And so you're doing men's ministry all the time. And in growth groups, you know, you're sitting in growth groups with men, and that's men's ministry. That's a form of men's ministry. And so there are all types of opportunities, and you don't have to just live within the formal structures that we've put in place. But you need to be looking for opportunities to live life with others. And, there are great examples around you of how that's done. And there are limitless possibilities, for what could be done. Any other thoughts, Paul?
Any other thoughts? Well, I mean, I would like to say if more people, were doing ministry, in their homes, and we didn't need to schedule any men's ministry stuff, then the building would be a little more freed up.
Why would that be important, Paul?
Well, so I've been trying to schedule a Nerf war for weeks now, and this facility is booked solid. So
tell people about your Nerf war. You have a Nerf war here. You try to every few weeks.
For a little while we were almost once a month, but
yeah,
it's been since the first of the year actually.
Yeah.
Since we've had another Nerf war, but no, I convinced all the men in my growth group to buy some high-end Nerf weapons.
Yeah,
Nerf Rival series. If you're interested, they shoot yellow balls. ages 14 and up.
Yeah.
And they all, you know, they're all like, yeah, it's a great idea. And so, so we bought them and we came to church in the evening and we shot each other.
That's and, what they do. Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds silly, but guess what? There's more men's ministry.
No, but it does. You do have opportunity, and it really is. There's also, and I keep on thinking of these things, but you have, you're working in a very blue collar type situation, right?
Yeah.
You're around pretty real guys, rough guys every day. And you have a ministry to guys like that, that a lot of us white collar guys just don't have. We don't have access to those guys. We don't have a connection to them. We talk different languages, you know, quite different languages. But you have this ministry, those guys, and you and the guys that you're pouring into, you have even come around some individuals, some lost men who you all can team together to work for their evangelization, to work for their conversion. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, I know of people you're doing that with right now, where you're in relationship with, you're truly loving them, but your desire is to see them come to Christ. And you have all these other guys that you're pouring into that are part of your group of guys, and you're going after these guys, you know, and really loving them and kind of drawing the circle around them and want to see them come to Jesus. And so there's all this opportunity. You have the Paulapalooza event that you do in October. Isn't it October?
Yeah.
Yeah. Paulapalooza.
Beginning of October.
So Paulapalooza is a like a Scottish Highlands spinoff.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go out in the woods and you play a game. You
a sporting
you
do event.
Sporting event. Woods. Yeah. But you have, I went out there last year and you have several guys who come who aren't believers necessarily, or we don't know. You know, they show up and
we sit around a fire and
you sit around a fire and you talk and you do. You have this ministry to them that's powerful and impactful and effective. And it's just happening in the natural course of life for you and
in the milieu,
as we've heard. but that's what you're doing. And so I want that to be communicated, that there's so many opportunities out there. Look around you, man. Look around you. And if you say, well, I really want another man to pour into my life. I would like an older man. They're around you. Don't wait for some program to connect you. Okay. You've got to initiate. And look around you. There's men all around you that need your input and need your help. And it can be as simple as just opening up your home and reaching out to their family. And there's all kinds of opportunity there. And then again, the most important ministry you have is to the men in your family, to the young men in your family, and you're constantly teaching them, constantly instructing them. And I just want to encourage you that you can be doing men's ministry and you should be doing men's ministry wherever you're at. And so get busy, get after it. Doesn't have to look pretty. Because trust me, I'm looking at Paul Smith. There's nothing pretty about him. And so it doesn't have to look pretty. It doesn't have to look like a certain thing. It's just, it looks like you caring about other people and caring about fellow believers. So I hope this has been an encouragement for you and an admonition, kind of a prompting to say, hey, you know, you need to just have a heart for other men and do what God has laid right in front of you to do, living life with others here at Faith Bible Church. And if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, if you want to get back and give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down on the whole backpacking fathers and sons together, do that at pfunches@fbchurch.org. Paul, thanks for coming.
Well, thank you, Paul.
And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries.